I thought we would do a different thing today. But before we get started, we have announcements, which I was about to forget. First of all, be sure you turn off or put your cell phones on vibrate, please. And then if you have children in the nursery, be prompt to pick them up at 11:30. And I have a nursery announcement. Candace called last night and asked if I would just pass this on to you. They are in need of one person on the second Wednesday of the month. And they are also in need of two people on the fifth Wednesday of the month. Now, I know that sounds weird. And you don't have to sign up for the entire rest of the year, but if you feel that you can possibly help out in the nursery, even if it's only for one time, if you would give Candace a call, or she's up in the infant nursery today. They are also in need of subs in case people, the regular people, don't show up. So if you've got a pen, let me give you her cell phone number, and you can jot this down. But you can pray about this. It is a way to minister, and it is a way that to help in a very practical way. But Candace's cell phone is 817-269-0612. Or as I said, she's up in the nursery, infant nursery today. No preparation needed, ladies. Just go and play with kids or rock infants. So it's a fun thing to do. But one person on the second Wednesday of the month, two people on the fifth Wednesday. And so her number, 817-269-0612. And if you all don't have on a name tag, may I encourage you to stop by the table on your way out. We want to wear them because it's a way that we can, it really jogs our memory and helps us to get to know one another. And then is Betty Lyon here today?
She's not here today.
Okay. I know that tomorrow Sherry Payton and Pam Parkhill are going to Christy Midget's to clean. And the following week, Debbie Scarborough and I are going. Beyond that, I am not sure if we have people signed up. So that will be circulated again. We need to help out. Some people have already been, and it's an ongoing need, at least for right now. All right? I want to just give you a little update on people who are affected by, or potentially affected by, the fires in California. We have Laurel Jones, Kathy Hale's mother Sue. Kathy took Sue out there to visit family. Linda Chandler's son Scott and his wife. Barbara King's brother has been evacuated. Tom Pennington was coming back last night and not positive if he made it in yet or not. But there are people that if we don't have them personally in our family, they certainly, we know people who have loved ones affected. We just need to pray for God's protection and provision for them. But I also have some continuing prayer needs. We have Hugo and Becky Goforth for God's strength to endure and healing for Hugo's shoulder. Continued healing from back surgery for Patricia Nye. And I talked to Lynn Retier, and she said that she is feeling well. Things are going better than she expected with her cancer treatment. So continue to pray for strength for her and for effective treatment. For Elaine Flory, for relief from pain and the strength to endure. And continued recovery for Hannah Hale from her intestinal issues. Continued prayer for Daryl Bennett for effective treatment in his cancer. As I mentioned, Christy Midget is still doing her radiation treatment and needs prayer. We have a phrase. Marion Briere did have her heart procedure and everything was okay. So no problems that the doctors found, so that's a praise. And then Dick Dewey has viral pneumonia, just diagnosed with viral pneumonia. So we want to lift him up and Marion and pray for healing and for wisdom for the doctors. And then Fern Gregory. Fern, would you raise your hand? Because there's some people that may not know you, and her daughter Patty right next to her. Fern is going to have rotator cuff surgery. She sustained an injury from a fall, and it's going to be November 15th. And that's a hard recovery. And so we want to lift up Fern as she goes into the surgery and afterwards. And Patty leaves for Korea for 2 years, November 29th. So the timing, according to us, might not seem exactly right, but who do we know is in control? God is, for sure. So we want to lift them up. And then I have exciting news for you. Kirsten Bigelow had a boy. She went to the hospital last night. I really don't have details other than his name is Jacob Seth.
8 pounds.
8 pounds?
20 inches long.
Ooh.
Okay.
Seth says he looks just like him.
Go. So I don't know what hospital. Don't have an idea. Okay. All right. We're moving on. Now, I am going to get you to take. I'm passing out pink slips of paper. I want you to take two of these. Pass them all around. Be sure they work their way all the way to the back. And what you're going to do with these two pieces of paper is I want you to write down one or two of your heaviest burdens. Something that is just on your heart. Maybe it's an upcoming surgery. I don't know. I've already written mine down. But if you don't know of something right this second, think about it as we go through this lecture this morning. And we'll talk about that further in a little bit. So, all right. Keep them going. Keep them going because we've got other stuff to do. It doesn't matter. No, you can put them on two different ones. But you're just something that's really heavy on your heart. Prayer request, something maybe that you've not been able yet to give to God. Something you're holding on to. Okay. Do you know what this is? My Sunday school teacher knows. We are going to do a review game today. And we're going to do a Jeopardy type review for God's sovereignty. And so we're already divided into teams. Look at this. Isn't God sovereign? There's a center aisle and you're already divided. We don't have to do that. But in order to decide who goes first, I have a number written down and I want Vicki Strayhorn. I want you to pick a number between 1 and 10. And Kathy Jones, you pick a number between 1 and 10. Okay, Vicki?
7.
Kathy? The number is 7, so this team will go first. All right. Okay, now, ladies, listen. If we're going to get through this, you've got, I know how ladies tend to be. You're going to have to stick with me. Let me go over the rules for you. We're going to have different categories with point values, and the categories are God, the world, and man for these number of points. And there's a little question hidden underneath. Okay, now, what you'll do, since this team will go first, is I'm going to call on different people randomly, and I'm not going to make you participate. But if you want to participate, but if you start to go to sleep on me, I'm going to call on you. But if you want to participate, raise your hand, and I'll call on you. Okay, if you answer the question correctly, then you get that number of points. If you don't answer the question correctly, you're going to have a very brief period of time that your team might be able to help you. And if you can come up with that answer together, corporately, correctly, you'll get the point. But if you miss it that time, it's going to go to the opposite team. If they get it, then they'll get the point. Now, at the end, we'll total them up and see who's the winning team. But I, the moderator, get to have discretion to decide if the answer is correct or not. totally correct or not. Because, you know, you may not have all, and I'm not going to be hard on you. Okay, Sharon, since you're sitting right here, would you like to be our scorekeeper? Okay, you can just put team 1 and team 2. Now, look, Pam, to watch Sharon and be sure that she doesn't do anything to get team 1.
Sharon,
I'll
be Sharon's still on our team.
Yeah, she's on her team.
She's on our team.
Okay, all right. Okay, so I would like to see who on, let's see. Okay, now this is going to be team 1. This is going to be team 2, just for me to be able to keep this up. Okay, team 1 has already won the toss. So who would like to participate? And y'all, somebody better raise their hand. Okay, come on. Okay, Siri. Okay, shh, ladies. Siri. All right, pick a category and a point.
I think we should go for God for 50.
Ooh. All right. All right. Now listen. We're going to try to do this without looking at our notes, okay? God for 50. In what three ways is God sovereign in our lives? What three ways is God sovereign in our lives? We talked about them last week. All right. Does somebody y'all want to talk about it?
Is it that?
All right, y'all want to talk about it? All right, Patty?
Oh. Salvation.
Okay.
Salvation.
Mercy and grace. All right. 50 points for team 1. Team 1. All right. We did see last week that God is sovereign in those three areas. And the hardest one probably for us to accept may be salvation, in that he chooses some for salvation and not others. But he is sovereign in salvation, mercy, and grace. Thank you. All right, now, team 2. All right, volunteer. Come on, ladies. Not going to be hard. All right, Tanya. World for 50. Look at y'all. Y'all are not bad. You're going for the big point. Okay. How we see what's happening in the world today depends on whether we are walking by what or what. And explain what this means. No murmuring. No murmuring. All right. How we view what's happening in the world today depends upon whether we're walking by blank or blank. All right, speak up.
By faith and not by sight.
All right, by faith or by sight is the correct answer. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to walk by sight?
To look at the events around us, look at the news.
To look at the things that are going on around us, what we see, and let that affect us. Yes. What does it mean to walk by faith? To trust God, more specifically. Can you think of some things? We said that. Okay. All right. We walk by faith. You're walking by what you cannot see. But I think what we said last week, I want to be sure I get this right, is that our thoughts are formed, our actions are regulated, and our lives are molded by what?
God's Word.
God's Word. So 50 points to 10 to. Good job, ladies. Okay, all right. Back over here to team 1. Need volunteers? Don't be bashful. Sandy. Man for 50. Okay. All right. Listen. Give a scripture pertaining to God's sovereignty that should comfort believers. Give a scripture, there could be several, that pertains to God's sovereignty that should comfort believers. And you can look in your Bible, or you can look in your notes. You don't know one off the top of your head. All right, listen. 2 Timothy 1:9. What does it say?
I don't know, but...
Well, now we got to know one. Somebody look up 2 Timothy 1:9 and let's see if that is the scripture that comforts believers. Who's got it? Okay.
Who has faith to call us with the Holy Calling? Not according to our work, but according to His own purpose and grace, which is granted us in Christ Jesus.
Okay, absolutely, that should comfort us because God has called us not according to what we are or we've done, but according to His perfect plan, His grace. Okay, 50 points to team one.
You
want to
split it?
No. Okay. All right. Let's go, team two. Let's go, team two. I want, but you can be a big team. Just let me know if you can do team two. So I'll be sure. Okay, team two. Somebody.
They volunteered me.
Okay. What do you want?
Man for 40.
Okay. Man for 40. All right. What is an attitude that we should have toward our sovereign God? What is an attitude that we should have? There are five that we covered. Yes. That was, let's see if I had anything written down for thankfulness. I had Psalm 103:1. We have no trouble giving God thanks for the good things that happen in our lives, do we? But when trials and situations that we don't really like come our way, it's harder to give Him thanks. But we're still called to do that. So that is an attitude that we should have toward our sovereign God. So 40 points. Okay?
So we just needed two without two answers?
There's just one.
Yeah.
Okay, back over here. Somebody. Come on, girls. Come on. We're going to work together. Okay, Patty. God for 40? What well-known promise in Scripture hinges on the doctrine of God's sovereignty? It's a Scripture. What well-known promise, I would like for you to give it to me and quote it, if you can.
Can you repeat that?
Yes. What well-known promise in Scripture hinges on the doctrine of God's sovereignty? There was one specific one that I gave last week.
Romans
8:28. You got it. And are called according to His purpose. And the first part of that scripture says, "For we know that all things." Yes. Thank you very much. Okay. So 40 points for them. All right. Back over here. Raise your hands, girls.
Okay.
All right. What? Which one?
40.
World. Oh, I'm sorry. Though the world is panic-stricken, what is the word to the believer to be? We talked last week about how panic-stricken the world is with all that's going on, but the believer, the word to the believer should be?
Comforted.
Comfort.
And he comforted. Okay, the way it should look to us. To them,
the word to the believer should be. All right. I'm going to have to go over to this side. All right. This is an opportunity. The word to the believer in a panic-stricken world today should be.
Is it true?
They already answered.
Well, all of those are great. Trust and obey. Be still and know that I am God. But did y'all not listen to the lecture last week? The word to the believer in this world of evil and tumultuous times should be fear not. Remember that? It's in the notes. So nobody gets that. Okay. All right. Now let's see. So y'all started. Okay. All right. So we're back over here. Okay. I saw a volunteer earlier up here. Somebody had their hand up.
If
Okay, Holly. All right, what do you want, Holly? God for 30. All right, list three things God cannot do and tell why he cannot do them. Three things. Okay, Three things God cannot do and tell why. All right, y'all may need to help her. She was not here last week. All right, he cannot lie. He cannot be tempted, nor can he tempt anyone. That goes with that. And he cannot change. Okay, good. Those are three of the five things, I think. But tell me why he cannot do those things. It would violate his holy character. God can do all things. In his power, he can do all things. But he would never do anything that would go against himself. And if he's a holy God, he cannot do those things. All right. Great job. Okay, back over here.
Lisa.
Okay. We're up for 30. All right, we got to get through these. All right. All right. Tell two things that Job 12:23 tells us that God does to nations. Job 12:23 says that God does things to nations. And this is talking about God's sovereignty over the nations. So what two things does God do? All right? Y'all want to help out? He makes them great and he destroys them. Yes.
All right. Thank you,
Beth. All right. Okay, over here.
Thank you.
Over here. Quickly. Okay. We've got to get going with these. Okay, Pam.
30 on man.
All right. You know what? Y'all were so good to start at the hard things and work your way up. All right. What does God plan for us? Now, here are some verses, and you can look these up. Psalm 139:16, and Proverbs 20:24. What does God plan for us? There's two things that God plans for us. All right, whose turn is it? It's our turn. Your turn. All right, he does what?
Plans our days.
Plans our days, and what else? Two things. Look, Proverbs 20:24. Look up that one for the second one. All right, what?
His
steps are ordered. So God plans our way, and he orders our steps. Okay, great. All right, over here, Amy.
Man for 20.
All right, finish this sentence. Nobody else talk. A true recognition of God's sovereignty blanks us as nothing else can. A true recognition of God's sovereignty blanks us as nothing else can. All right, if you need to confer, you can confer. No, you can confer. A true recognition of God's sovereignty. Think about this. A true recognition of God's sovereignty blanks us as nothing else can.
Comfort. Humble.
Humble was a corporate answer here. Correct. It is humble. When we truly recognize that God is sovereign over everything, it humbles us as nothing else can. Okay. Over here. Come on, quick. Tenth in the world, Sherry. Okay. All right. Sherry, who is regulating the affairs of the world today? God is regulating. But let me just throw this out to you. To an undiscerning eye, who might appear to be regulating this?
Thanks.
Okay, y'all did listen last week. All right, back over here. Okay, Pam.
God for 20.
Name two characteristics of God's sovereignty and describe them. Two characteristics of God's sovereignty and describe them.
Okay.
There are five. Just name two.
He's universal.
Okay.
And he is...
Right. And what would universal mean?
It's like everywhere.
All right, so he's... So his sovereignty is
overall
things. Okay, so what would the second one be?
Eternal.
Okay, God is eternal, which means?
It goes on forever.
He is everlasting. All right, let's just see as a group, can we name the others? There's three more.
Absolute.
He is absolute. What does that mean?
He's the only one.
He's the only one. It's unconditional. He is it. Okay? What is another one? He's wise. God is wise. We know what that means. And then there's one more. He is immutable. He will not, cannot change. And Teresa's going to teach on that next week. Okay. Next group. Over here. Come on, ladies.
I volunteer Penny.
Okay, who? Penny? Okay, Penny. Man for ten. What is one? All right. What is one? And there are five. What is one attitude that we should have toward God as the supreme sovereign? One attitude that we should have toward Him.
Worship.
Yes, one of adoring worship. And this this gets back to what the question was over here a minute ago. When we recognize that God is truly sovereign, we should be humble, and it should, in our hearts, make us want to worship and adore Him. Okay. Okay, thank you. All right, let's see. Who else? No, I'm not done yet. I'm just keeping up with my time. Okay, over here, quickly.
World for 20.
Why does the world despise the doctrine that God is absolutely sovereign? Why does the world despise that?
They don't have any power.
Okay.
Which
we want to be in control of things, God. So it boils down to human pride. And we learned last week that the doctrine of God's sovereignty is the most despised thing in the natural mind, because man does not want anybody to tell him that he is not in control. Sinful man. Okay, over here. We've only got one left, so who wants it?
Well, we have
to
have
God.
That
wouldn't
be fair.
Thanks for all your questions.
There's 15 questions,
so
it doesn't matter. All
right, let's just see if everybody can.
Yeah, let's give it to both.
Okay, if y'all don't get this, I'm going home. I'm going home if you don't get this. As Jesus as the supreme ruler, God rules with what? God rules with what? As the supreme ruler, it is a definition we went over last week.
God rules with authority.
With absolute authority. Yes, that's right. Okay. Well, I wish I had a prize to give out, but y'all are all winners in my opinion. So, pat yourself on the back. Okay, now what I would like for you to do is I want you to go ahead and say, if you did not get one just a minute ago, I'd like for you to ask. I think we have a round of section over here. Bring it over, guys. Listen. I want everyone to take one of these, because what this is the outline from last week, with the answers filled in and some additional principles and whatnot that we have. But listen, basically, can I have your attention, please?
I think you lost it. Sorry.
Yes, I know. If I were in a Sunday school classroom, I would turn the lights on and off. Everyone would fall silent. Your name would already be on the board. Okay. So, let's just recap. We have seen that God is absolutely sovereign over everything in the universe. And that means that there is nothing that is not under his complete control at all times. Now, here we have a situation in California with these horrible fires. The devastation, even the loss, of property, even the loss of life. This is unprecedented. It's awful. At the same time that that is going on, night before last, New Orleans got 8 inches of rain. New Orleans. They haven't even recovered from Hurricane Katrina. And then further east, we have Georgia and Alabama who are in drought situations. There is no way we, in our finite minds, will ever be able to understand what God allows, what happens in the world. We're not supposed to, but God is never not in control. And that has to comfort us as believers. We went over some verses last week that showed in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, and I've noted some on your handout, that God is always in control, has been before we ever existed, because our days were numbered before we were ever born. And so to realize that our God is sovereign, not only in the world, but in our personal lives, should bring us comfort. It should encourage us. But also, it should motivate us to know that God's word says that I am the Lord God, and I will do what I say. Who are we, ladies? Will stop and think about it, to question what God does, how he does it. A lot of times, we don't ever know. We can't ever see the good things that come out of it. But Scripture tells us, Romans 8:28, we know that God works all things out for good to those who love him and are called according to his holy purpose. Okay, so bringing this back down to home, let's talk for just a second about how we can apply this to our lives. And, you know, each of us is at a different place. I shared with you last week, you know, I struggle with child rearing. And it can be great at times. It can be challenging at times. And I can do the right thing at times, and I can totally blow it and do the wrong thing at times. So, you know, God is sovereign in my children's lives. And that's a real hard area for me to let go of. Now, I had one who just got married, and I really seriously thought about how we cut those apron strings, don't we? When that happens. And those two young people come together, and as husband and wife, under the Lord, they begin their life together. Mom, I have to take many, many steps back. And I've tried to do that. But on the other hand, I want to control all the things that my 17-year-old does. But, and I'm being very honest with you, in doing that, I'm saying it's my place to be sovereign, and I'm not letting God take his rightful place. You know, whatever he decides to work in our lives, sometimes we'll go up mountains and then we'll go down into valleys. But through it all, God is always there, and his purpose is being fulfilled because his plan is being worked out. But it's hard to let go. So I struggle with letting go of my children's lives and letting God work in their lives in difficult ways. You know, I want to be sure their homework's done. I want to be sure that they're on top of everything. But I need to trust God with that. So I just wondered, and we have just a couple of minutes, if there's anyone who would like to share how through this study of God's sovereignty, they've realized that they've been holding on to something and they need to let God become the sovereign that he really is. Is there anybody that wants to share anything? Terry?
Well, something that really comforted me was just the, you know, the song, he's got the whole world in his hand.
Yeah.
And it just hit me. It's like, he's got Angela, my daughter, in his hands. He's got it. You know, and it was just such a comfort, you know.
That very simple little thing. It's true, isn't it? He's got the whole world in his hands. So we are to be comforted. All right, is there anybody else? Any? Vicki?
Well, the situation with Michael and his job, and Michael's fine. I'm not. But I'm learning through the study and, of course, through God's Word that he's got a plan.
Yeah.
And I just wish in my own mind it were shorter than it is, but it's not. And so I've got to hang on.
What's not sure is that you don't know what's going to happen. What is sure is that God's plan is set. It has been. It always will be. And it's going to be for our good, even though it may be difficult times that we have to go through. But it's also going to be for God's ultimate glory, isn't it? And I want to read this last thing that that I read last week in closing. The Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Well, actually, it's on your outline, but so you can read with me if you want to. But it says, "Children of God, whatever you have not got, you have a God in whom you may greatly glory. Having God, you have more than all things, for all things come of him. And if all things were blotted out, he could restore all things simply by his will. He speaketh, and it is done. He commandeth, and it stands fast. Blessed is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his trust, and whose hope Jehovah is. In the Lord Jehovah we have righteousness and strength. Let us trust in him forever. Let the times roll on. They cannot affect our God." I don't think I'll ever forget that. Let the times roll on. They cannot affect our God. And so what you did with the little pink pieces of paper, you were asked to write down something that's heavy on your heart, a burden, something that you've not been able to give to God yet, maybe. Vicki gave an example. I gave an example. Terry. And so, we have huge burdens in our lives. All of us do. And they're all different. They're all different. But we're commanded to do some things with those burdens. Now, I don't want y'all to laugh. I don't want to hear one snicker when you sit here. I'm not an arts major. I'm a business major. But this is an anxiety vote. This is an idea I got from our primary Sunday school. And the thought here is, God, to remember, God is in control. And 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." So all of those burdens, all of those things that we have in our lives that we're hanging on to, that are causing us anxiety, we need to put them in the boat. We need to give them to God. Because we're able to do that because the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. Now, I found that verse last night, and I don't know, y'all, if it says any of what I've given you or not, So write it down. Psalm 103:19. Psalm 103:19. And that should bring us such comfort to know the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. So that is our overriding concept of what we've done these last couple of weeks. And so this little boat's going sailing, and we're putting our burdens, our anxieties in it. And I'm going to let y'all pass this. You haven't? Have you written it? Okay. Keep it going all the way around, because we don't want to hold on to those. We want to give those to the Lord God, who is sovereign over all things. Now, nobody's going to see these. I'm taking the boat home, and he's going to get lost at sea. But, you know, just be comforted to know that God is in control. And when we see things happening in the world, like these fires and all kinds of things on an international scope, it's easy to lose that thought that God is in control. We tend to want to walk by sight. We become affected by what we see going on in the world. And that is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk by faith, to let his word mold us, shape us, and conform us to the image of his Son. And only when we walk by faith are we able to be free of those burdens. They don't weigh us down anymore. We can have joy that God tells us he wants us to have. And it's impossible to have that joy apart from totally recognizing God's sovereignty. So what I would like for us to do in just the few remaining minutes is, I thank you all for putting your burdens in the boat. And we just want to go to the Lord in prayer. And I would like to give you an opportunity just to take a minute of quiet time to just speak to the Lord yourself, and then I'll close us in prayer. Sovereign Lord, how we praise you because you tell us in your word that you form the light and you create darkness. You bring prosperity and you create disaster. You, the Lord, do all these things because you are supreme and sovereign. Forgive us, Lord, for wanting to be sovereign over ourselves. Instead of wanting you to be sovereign, we have wanted our own way, acting at times as if we had a right to our own life. Forgive us for rebelling against your authority, even if it's only in our hearts. Father, we pray that you would strengthen us to walk by faith, trusting you in all of the circumstances that we face. Lord, you know what is on each of our hearts, the areas in which we've struggled in accepting your sovereignty. Help us to remember to cast our cares upon you, knowing that you will care for us in the best possible way for our good and your ultimate glory. Help us to accept you as our sovereign master. In Jesus' name.